Hi, this is Rabbi David Felsenthal. We're learning Bava Kamma, Chapter 8, Mishnah 7, and Chapter 9, Mishnah 1. Mishnah 7. Afal pi shehu nosen lo, einu nimcho lo ad shivakesh memenu. Even though he gives him, he's not forgiven until he asks for him forgiveness, because it says, b'yata hashev eshes. U'menayin shelo yehe amochel, now therefore restore the wife of. Umanayan Shaloyehe Hamochel Aksari, and from where do we learn that one who is to forgive should not be cruel? Because it says, Vispalo Avram El Elohim, Vayirpa Elohim Es Avimalach, that Abraham prayed to Hashem and God healed Avimalach. Haomer Tsameis Aini, if someone says, blind my eye, Kata es yadi, cut off my hand. Shover es rugli, break my leg. Chayev, he's chayev. Al menas liptor, chayev. If he says on the condition to be exempt, he's still chayev. Kras kususi, tear my garment. Shover es kadi, break my pitcher. Chayev. Al menas liptor, putter. Ah, but if he says do these things in the condition to be exempt, then he is exempt. We'll see why in a second. Asa ken liish ploni, if you say, do so-and-so to so-and-so person, amanas liftor, and the condition that you'll be exempt, chayev, he's chayev. Bein begufo, bein bemonono, whether against his person or against his property. Okay, so even though he gives him the compensation that he's owed, he's not forgiven until he actually asks for the forgiveness for the suffering he caused him because of the shame. All right? And we learned that from the Pasuk, now therefore restore the wife of man. Avimelech was not forgiven until he asked Avram to forgive him. Okay, so we learned from this that you have to ask for forgiveness from the shame party. Where do we learn that you shouldn't be cruel? Because it's written, Avram prayed to God, and God healed Avimelech. Now, even though it might be said that Avram acted beyond the letter of the law, nevertheless, if this were the case, the Torah would have written that he forgave him, just as it writes that he prayed for him. The forgiveness was certainly according to the requirement of the law. Therefore, since there was nothing remarkable in this act, the Torah didn't have to mention it specifically. The purpose of this verse is rather to teach us that not only did he forgive him, but he even prayed for him. Now, if a person says to him, blind my eye, cut off my hand, etc., and he does it to you, he's liable for doing it for all five parts of compensation. Because it's known that the person who just asked you to do this didn't really want you to do it, and it's forbidden for you to obey him. Even if he says to you on the condition that you'll be exempt from payment, you're still chayav for doing it to him. Now, but if he says, tear my garment, break my pitcher, etc., on the condition to be exempt, since a person can waive a claim concerning his property, so therefore, if he says on condition to be exempt, then he is potter. Okay, now we will do Mishnah, Chapter 9, Mishnah 1. Hagazel etzim vasan kelim. If you rob wood and make it into utensils, semer vaasa begodim. Or if you take wool and make it into garments. Misham kishas gzela, you pay the value at the time of the robbery. Gazel para umuberes v'yalda, you steal a cow that is pregnant and gives birth. Rachel tuna ugazaza, or a ewe that is full of hair, is loaded with hair, and you shear it. Misham dme para hamedes leilad, you pay the value of the cow about to give birth. Zmei Rachel hamedes legazes, and you pay the amount of the ewe before it's sheared, as it's about to be shorn. Gazel para venis abra etzlo v'yalda, if you steal a cow and then it becomes pregnant while it's in your possession and then gives birth. Rachel venisana etzlo ugazaza, or you steal a ewe and it grows the hair, and then you sheared it. Mishalom kishas gzela, you pay as it was at the time that you stole it. Zaklaf, this is the rule. Kol gazlanim mishamin kishas gzela. All robbers pay as at the time of the robbery. Okay, so who is a robber? A robber and a thief are not interchangeable terms. Okay? A ganaf and a gazlan are two different things. We're talking here about a gazlan. Okay, a robber. And we're talking about someone who's taking another's property or entered into his domain against his will and took things from him and made use of them, went down to the field and ate his produce, etc. This is a robber. Someone who robs is obligated to return the stolen object itself. Whether the robber himself admitted or whether witnesses testified that he's robbed, he's obligated to return only the principal. Okay, that's the law for a gazlan, for a robber. Okay, our Mishnah teaches that if a stolen object went through a change in the possession of the robber, even though the owner had not yet despaired of retrieving it, the robber then acquires it because of the chain and only has to pay the value as it was at the time of the robbery. The Gemara explains that he shall restore that which he took by robbery. That which he took by robbery means if it still exists as the object that he stole, he returns it. If not, he pays its value. So if you rob wood and make it into utensils, or wool and make it into a garment, you pay the value of the wood or the value of the wool as at the time of the robbery. It's now called something different because of the deed he did, and therefore he's acquiring them through this change. Now, if you rob a pregnant cow and it gave birth, or a ewe that's full of hair and it's sheared, right? So then you have to pay the value with the baby or with the hair still on, because that's the way it was when it was robbed. Okay, but obviously if it happens after, then you can, he only has to return as the moment when it was robbed. And that's the general rule. The Gemara explains that this rule includes the law that if he stole a fawn and it became a deer, or he stole a calf and it became an ox, and then he slaughtered or sold it, he is exempt from the 4 or 5-fold payments because when he acquired it, the change occurred while it was in his possession, and he slaughtered or sold his own possession. Tomorrow we will do Mishnah 2 and Mishnah 3.